Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Heather Lexite Nevin.
And we want to thank you for joining us again tonight. Tonight our show is Learning How to Operate in Love by Keeping Hope Established, Part 2. And before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Heavenly and Gracious Father, again we come before your throne, Father God. Give us thanks and praise, Father God. Using your service, Heavenly Father. We ask now, Father God, for that anointing to help me, Father, will make speaking the truth of your word easy, Father God. We ask now that Heavenly Father, your presence be with us, the Heavenly
you,
Father.
God.
As we dig again deep into the word hope, the Heavenly Father, so that we can examine it once again, the Heavenly Father, and pull out the riches in this word, dear Heavenly Father, that may help restore someone's hope, dear Heavenly Father. They're going through right now, Father God. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
For the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And again, the topic is Learning How to Operate in Love by Keeping Hope Established, Part 2. We will be discussing some personal issues that came up in our marriage and made us recognize how imperative it is to keep hope established in our relationship in order for us to be able to operate in love. Without hope, there's much difficulty in repairing the damages that come from issues that can bring the relationship to an end. And we have to establish hope and at times reestablish hope in our relationships in order to effectively operate in love and to keep our relationships thriving. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And tonight our word is coming out of Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, out of the Message Bible. And the topic of this scripture is to start all over again. Amen. And the scripture says, and now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back out into the wilderness where we had our first date, and I'll court her. I'll give her bouquets of roses. I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. She'll respond like she did as a young girl those days when she was fresh out of Egypt. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're talking about hope tonight. And hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. And hope is to want something to happen or be true and think that it could happen or be true. Amen?
Amen.
We will be reiterating some of the things that we talked about in the first part of this discussion that we had. Just to go over a little bit quickly. We've been married almost 11 years now, and our first 7 years was hectic, to say the least.
It was hell.
It was hell. And, you know, we thank God for the deliverance from a lot of stuff that happened in our home and in our lives. And, you know, we met strangers. We met in a karaoke bar and grill, and we didn't know each other. We slept together that very first night, so we fell madly in bed. Then we got married. A year later, we lived together for a year, and we got married a year later, and then we tried to get to know each other. So we went through a whole lot of finding out who we were, and what we actually found out was who we never want to be again. And we ended up with a whole lot of frustrating things happening in our life. We had the police coming to the house. We had physical altercations. We were emotionally, verbally abusive to each other. We also had a child here involved that had to see a lot of things that children should not see. So we suffered. We suffered because we did not understand how to operate in love. This ministry actually came about when I was sitting in jail on a domestic violence case against my husband. And God told me that night, that day, he told me that day, you know, that if I did not learn how to operate in love, that would be my permanent address. And I'll never forget that message. And I made a decision at that moment that I wanted something different in my life, because what God showed me was that I didn't just end up in jail. I was always headed that way because of my own issues and violent behavior. And you know, going through the things that we went through in our marriage, I can remember losing hope. I can remember that spirit of separation that was in the house, and I can remember feeling like I was in a hopeless dilemma. I remember crying out to God and asking him to help me to get out of this marriage. And the thing about it was that God never, ever gave me permission to leave this marriage. And I couldn't understand that at the time. I could not understand that. And I know that there were many days and nights that you heard me cry out in that prayer.
It's so true. You know, and for me, it was trying to run away from it. Matter of fact, I did leave. I packed up myself and left and felt like I was at that point of hopelessness, and I just wanted out. I wanted something, you know. I thought I wanted something better, something different. But that wasn't God's plan for us. During the whole time that I was away, you know, we still talked on the phone, and it was just apparent that, you know, that wasn't meant to be. But at the same time, I didn't know how to come back. You know, I didn't know how to put that bridge to come back to your heart and find a way to try to mend some of the damage that had been done. From what had happened in our marriage, it's so devastating how destructive the enemy can be when we allow him in. You know, a lot of unforgiveness. You know, that was the door that was open to allow him to come in and do the damage that he had done in our marriage. But at the same time, I think hope was lurking around the corner.
Amen.
Because at the time that, you know, you had started examining yourself to change, I hadn't gotten to that point yet.
Right.
So I still had a lot of animosity and a lot of anger still left in me due to what had happened, you know. That final straw.
Right.
And it was hard for me to really find my place again, you know, to really want to try to establish hope for our marriage. And something inside of me just kept saying, though, my vow, you know, for better, for worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew it couldn't get no worse than that unless we
had only killed each other.
Well, it wasn't shared, but that was about it. So as long as we were still breathing, there was still a possibility that the marriage could be salvaged from all that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the miracle of ministry, that's what did it.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to work on yourself, and I began to see some changes, you know. To tell you when things turn around, I couldn't really pinpoint that exact thing that happened for us.
Because I was trying to think about that today. When exactly did we reestablish that hope? And
I think it was
definitely a setup. But I can remember, like you were saying, you know, after God had given me those revelations in prison, in jail, you know, I can remember coming home and you still being angry, and I can remember trying something different and still having to face your anger and get some understanding, you know, about your process. But I remember how hard it was because you kept bucking up at me and you was in my face and you was, you know, it was like that, you know how the scripture said, don't lead a person to wrath, you know. It was like you kept trying to make provoking, you know. And I remember having to tell you, give me 50 feet. I said, baby, I remember when I said I didn't want to go back to jail, you know, and I didn't want to get into any trouble, and I didn't want to fight anymore, but I didn't say I couldn't fight or I couldn't go to jail. But I remember having to tell you that because it was one of those situations where the only thing that I could do was either keep trying to do what I was trying to do or fall into the trap that Satan was setting for us.
And
you
it
know?
Was a snare. It was definitely a snare that he was trying to provoke something else to occur to finish it off, you know.
Right.
He is the adversary. He does try to kill, steal, and destroy. And he was on a mission to try to destroy our marriage, most definitely. But I just wish so much that we could just recall that moment, you know, change this turned around for us.
Well, it was a process. It really wasn't a moment. It was a succession of things that we had to start putting into place, you know, because we had to undo the damage, you know, because we had to come to start looking at things in a totally different way, you know, like, you know, we still had triggers where things that we would say to each other would bring up hurt,
right.
You know. We still had that distrust, you know, of allowing each other to be close, you know. You know, coming in closer to each other again, it was just, it had to take some time because we couldn't just jump right in and pretend that none of this stuff had ever happened because it was so much stuff that happened, you know, like I said.
Physically, it still took time for me to heal.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
So, and that was a constant reminder to me of what had happened.
Right.
You know? So that kind of continued to foster that anger that I had and that bitterness that I had, you know. And the question, you know, if it was really worth pursuing anymore or staying.
I know. And then you probably had people talking to you that were telling you, you know, why would you be in the house with a crazy woman, you know, because what had happened was I had threw a mug and hit my husband in the mouth, you know, with that mug. And it busted both of his lips. He had stitches in both of his lips.
No,
and I thought you had stitches up at the top, too.
At the bottom of my tooth that went through my lip.
Oh, okay.
And I threw my bottom teeth out.
Okay, and your top lip was just swollen?
Yeah.
Okay, because it was hard for me to look and even see the damage that I had done, you know. And that's one thing about being an abusive person, you know, when you see the damages that you've done, you know, and you know that this is someone that you really care about, but you're faced with evidence of who you are, that's a hard pill to swallow. You know, I was shamed, I was guilty, I was convicted, you know, of causing you that kind of harm, you know, after having the feeling that I loved you so much, you know, because I used to always talk about how we, for me, in the beginning, we had the greatest love story ever told. And for it to turn into what it turned into, you know, and so much stuff that we just didn't know about each other, you know, we would provoke each other because, you know, you had different beliefs, you know, we talked about that in our first session about some things that happened to you as a child. There was some stuff that happened to me as a child. And both, if you get two people in a home that's broken, what you have is a broken home, you know. And you can't take two broken people and make that one wholeness, you know. Both of those people have to be repaired.
You got two halves.
Yeah. It does not make
broken,
a whole.
And you can't make a whole lot of two broken people. It just don't work.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And those early years are evidence of that.
Right.
You know, and me not knowing how to love or receive love at the time definitely didn't help. It was just a hard period. Even now, talking about it, you know, it's still hard to perceive that we were that way with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after being so good in the beginning,
right.
You know, and it was so strong. We thought it was so strong, so solid. You know,
and that's why the enemy was trying to take us out of it, because he knew, you know, he had peeped a little bit of our future where he could see, you know, that we were going to end up here. You know, someplace greater, you know.
Saw potential, what could be.
Okay.
You know, and that was enough to threaten him
mm-hmm.
to not want us to move forward, you know. And if he could stop us then, we would have never got to where we are today.
That's true.
You know?
But one thing about it, the enemy can never stop anything. He need us to participate.
Yes.
And we became volunteers and willing participants, you know, because because the language that we use, you know, the activities that we chose, the behavior toward each other, you know, we had so much going on that was evil. And I remember we was talking about this before, about how in the last place that we live, you know, the people, our neighbors couldn't imagine that we would be doing a ministry, you know, because there were times when your clothes was out on the lawn, you know, we was out in the middle of the street, you know, cutting the food. We tore doors up, tore cars up, you know, because I think I put some dents in that car, kicking it when you was trying to leave before, you know.
A lot of SUV we had.
Who broke the windshield?
To a bucket, that big bucket that I bought home for work.
Mm-hmm.
It was sitting on the back porch.
And I threw it and hit the windshield.
And cracked the windshield.
Okay. I know, it was a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of stuff I don't remember. I choose not to remember, you know, but, yeah, we were talking
like
about that
Beirut,
last night. About
like
we,
Beirut,
yeah.
You know, everything just, wow.
And we had to, I was coming back and reestablish and hold. One of the things that we did, you remember, we made a pact. Not to pack. We made a PACT, not the PACK, because we kept on packing over and over and unpacking over and over. We was like, okay, look, if we keep doing this, let's leave the stuff where it is. Don't pack up nothing else. If you got to go out and get some air, go get some air. Come on back or whatever you got to do. That was one of the things that had started working for us, learning how to walk away, you know, and allowing the other person to walk away. Because one of the things that I had to learn was how to not try to follow you and continue to provoke you while you're trying to get away, because you were a runner, you know. But, you know, part of being able to fight fair, because that's what we have to learn how to do in relationships, because everything is not going to work out just fine all the time. We're going to have to learn how to fight fair. And in being able to learn how to do that, we have to understand what can we put into place that's different from the stuff that we've been using. Like when I'm yelling, the other person don't need to be yelling, you know, even in just plain conversation, somebody got to be listening. Because even in anger, there's a lot of stuff that can come out that can help. Even in anger, even stuff said in anger can teach you about what it is that you're doing to a person to hurt them, because people will cry out
right.
in anger, you know, and, you know, learning how not to follow you, you know, when you're trying to get away, because, you know, I jump in my car too, you know, and stalk you and try to find you and all that stuff, you know, to continue to drive myself and torture myself, you know, thinking that I'm torturing you, you know, and there was a lot of things that I had to learn how to do, you know, even in getting into a submissive role, you know, and just being quiet, you know. God says a time for everything, and it's definitely a time to shut up, you know, especially when you know that the words that you're going to say don't have nothing to do with establishing hope. It don't have nothing to do with operating in love, you know. We got to learn how to be able to hold on to whatever it is that we're trying to say, you know, that's not going to be effective in us reestablishing that hope. Because we can open up our mouths in the middle of things maybe working out. We can open up our mouths and say one wrong thing, you know, because we got some kind of fleshly feelings going on. You know, we still angry, you know. Yeah, snatch that Band-Aid right off, and then, you know, here we go again, another crime scene, you know. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but establishing hope is about having that desire that things can get better. So I don't know when that exact moment came when things were better, but I do remember, you know, wanting things to be better. I remember when you walked back into the house, you know, after you had been gone, you know, and I remember you standing there, you know, and I remember having all these thoughts in my mind before you got there of what I would do if you came back, you know. And it wasn't nothing that I had planned on doing. None of that happened. None of that happened because, you know, I was just plotting and planning that if you ever came back up in here, you know, I'm going to throw you out and make you feel bad, you know, and let you know that I'm doing okay, you know. But it was something about that moment, you know, and plus it seemed like to me you came back with that note I told you you needed from God to get back. Because you came back with a testimony, you know, and you remember that? You don't remember your testimony? Well, you came back and you said that you had been in the place where you were, and God was telling you about the was it the bomb of Gideon? What, a garden? I can't remember it either. But I know it was a powerful testimony of how God had been dealing with you while you was gone, showing you some things about yourself, you know. And I know that the whole time that you was gone and we was fighting back and forth, you know, because we weren't talking back and forth. We were still fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
We were still fighting, you know. You was calling me, you know. You had threatened me, you know. And all I could do, you know, I remember I had talked to Elder Jackie Leonard. And she told me, she said, well, if you're in spiritual warfare right now, you need spiritual things. And everything that you started sending me, because you started sending me voicemails and text messages after I had stopped answering you, you know, because I used to answer the phone and cuss back with you, you know. But when she had told me that, then I started sending you scriptures, you know, and I kept sending scriptures, and I kept sending scriptures. And that's what kept me from adding more, you know, myself to the equation. You know, that was my way of letting God come in, because I needed the word. You needed the word, you know. And I think that I remember I had sent you something, but I remember when you came back, I saw your Bible in the back seat of your car, and it was on one of the scriptures that I had sent you. So it let me know that you was reading it, even though you were angry, you were going to see what I was talking about, you know, and what it was that I was saying, you know. And I think that helped a lot because, you know, it was spiritual warfare. It was spiritual warfare.
We couldn't have made it through none of that without God's help.
Amen.
Know? And I believe the healing really started when we started the ministry, and it brought us on the road back to toward each other. And hearts were mended, and physical healing came as well as mental healing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've been on that path ever since, you know. And I just want to encourage anybody out there that's going through, you know, if you listen to our story, you know, it's so easy to fall out of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a warrior spirit to stay.
Amen.
You know, in spite of,
mm-hmm.
you know, the vows that we speak, you know, words are not abstract. They're spirit. And once you put them out into the atmosphere, things happen, you know. God spoke, let there be, and it was.
Amen.
And he made us in his image and his likeness. So therefore, we possess those same qualities and attributes, you know, of speaking things into each other and into each other's lives. So, you know, we began to speak hope into this relationship.
Right.
And by speaking it, we established it. And once we established it, developed, and now here we are by the grace of God. And I'm so thankful that, you know, we didn't give up.
Amen.
That we had expectations. That God had a plan that no matter what we did, we couldn't mess it up.
He said, no man put it on the...
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that. So, like I was saying, if anybody, you know, going through, you know, just don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's word has everything we need to hold on to. And if we allow him to be in the middle of it all, even though it's a mess, even though it's a disaster, even though we can't seem to come to terms or any of that, you know. I believe you kept praying and I kept praying, and through that, you know, we could see each other again, you know, in a different light, you know. And the little spark of love that was still there, you know, it turned back into that flame, you know, and it warmed our hearts back toward one another. And I thank God that, you know, he allowed us to stay together.
And we did do the courtship, you know, like the scripture said, you know, we did do the courtship. You know, we started back dating and talking, you know, to each other like we were on a date, you know, and started developing some respect for each other. You know, I remember that, you know, you've always been the type of man to open car doors and, you know, say thank you know, you had manners, you know, and... Yes, you know, and being able to go back to those days where it was nice.
Yeah, and it was in my heart had to win you back, you know.
Indeed.
A lot of damage was done, but today is a new day.
It's a brand new day.
Ministry is in full motion, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to minister to each other like we do, even on this blog talk show, because it allows us to grow even closer.
Amen.
You know, and it's an intimacy that all relationships need. And I thank God for that.
Thank you again for today and just being here. And I just want to say I love you.
Be here. I love
you. I appreciate you. Pray us out.
Father God, we thank you for hope.
Thank
you for that expectation, Father God, of things getting better, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray and ask, dear Heavenly Father, that those marriages that are in turmoil right now, Father God, that you step into them, dear Heavenly Father, and show them, Father God, your love, Father God, that never fails. So we thank you now, Father God, and we ask these things, Father God, in Jesus' holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you. And thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again. And just remember that no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation, the lesson
is always love.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.